Hare Krishna.
In Budapest,
nice sunny day. I can't say if it's a spring, but let's say it's a junction between spring and winter. And I gave class today from a verse that I used to know very well off by heart. Now I know parts of it off by heart. And in English it says, Maharaj Raghunath talking to Judd Bharat, "My dear sir, I'm not at all afraid of the thunderbolt of King Indra, nor am I afraid of the serpentine piercing trident of Lord Shiva. I do not care about the punishment of Yamaraj, the superintendent of death, nor am I afraid of fire, scorching sun, moon, wind, nor the weapons of Kuvera, yet I'm afraid of the Nila Brahma. I'm very much afraid of this." And Srila Prabhupada's purport talks about the horribleness cost of Vaishnava Apradh. Actually here Maharaj Raghunath is just talking about Brahma Kula to offend the Vaishnavas or the the Brahmins or the Brahmin order. And above the Brahmins are Vaishnavas, offense of which is even more severe still. And it's a phenomenon which sadly, namely Vaishnava Aparad, which is sadly rampant, I would say, in the world today. Maybe the Vaishnava world, criticism of Vaishnavas, the method of criticism of Vaishnavas, the internet doesn't at all help, the amount of attention that even Vaishnava Aparad is given by devotees, other Vaishnavas, who just read it, because internet's the type of thing that people read, and then just by giving an ear to such thing, lending an ear to such thing, whatever someone's opinion may be, that itself already implicates others, and the type of effect this has on our devotional life and devotional creeper should be well noted here. What is it that Maharaj Raghunath is so afraid of from committing Vaishnava Aparadh? He lists all of these things. I'm not afraid of Yamaraj, I'm not afraid of Lord Shiva, and I'm not afraid of Kuvera. But he's afraid of Vaishnava Aparadh because, and Srila Prabhupada then begins his purport like that by citing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions to Rupa Goswami on Vaishnava Aparadh, because one's chances for spiritual life, if one's began spiritual life, one's devotional creeper may be completely trampled down, just as an elephant tramples down to the ground all creepers and flowers and plants in a garden. And one starts again from scratch, or even more, worse than scratch. Extremely, very, very serious. And ultimately you can be punished for sins and go to hell, but time-wise and in terms of perhaps even reaction, if you measure, evaluate reaction, losing one's chances for spiritual advancement from the spiritual point of view is much more serious. And sometimes we do those offenses inadvertently, sometimes we do it consciously, sometimes we think we pass it off as it being something that's admissible for some reason or another, but it's a very, very dangerous thing. And so, repeatedly, over and over again, as I was speaking a few days ago about Parikshit Maharaj, and he also committed, or that was an example of committing an offense to a brahmana, although Prakshit Maharaj was even more highly situated. The whole fratricidal war between the Pandavas and Kauravas, and the annihilation of the Kshatriyas was all because of the offenses committed to the Pandavas, to Draupadi. And it goes on and on. Ambarish Maharaj, the example is given there of, even though Durvasa Muni was a great yogi, a mystic, and even he's a Vaishnava, but because he committed an offense to a great devotee, he went to Lord Shiva and said, I can't help you. Went to Lord Brahma and said, I can't help you. Finally, he went to Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu says, I'm sorry, I can't help you. You go back and ask forgiveness from the person you offended, but there's no other way of atoning for offense to Vaishnavas. Chaitanya Charitamrita is also full of such warnings when Lord Nityananda kicked Shivananda Sen. Shivananda Sen thought that Lord Nityananda had committed an offense to his father and went to complain to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who warned him. He said, don't even think like that. Don't even in your mind, even if you see disagreement amongst devotees, don't criticize. It's a pastime of the Lord. Arrange this disagreement, or at least take it as a pastime of the Lord. And not only the offender, the other example, Haridas Thakur, Ramchandra Khan. Ramchandra Khan was the perpetrator of the offense, trying to make Haridas Thakur fall down to the allurements of a prostitute. But what was the result? Ramchandra Khan was destroyed, as was his entire village, everyone who was associated with him. One of the many instances Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra were inquiring about their chances of victory before the war, and this was to Vyasadeva, who came. And they said, our forces are assembled. We have twice as many soldiers as those of the Pandavas. Bhishma Dev is on our side. So our victory seems assured. And Vyasadeva says, you're doomed. Even though Lord Krishna is not going to fight, and everyone knows, on Arjuna's side, but the whole kingdom that you're enjoying right now is based on your having offended the Pandavas, your having offended Draupadi. These aren't ordinary people. They're Krishna's personal associates. They're great Vaishnavas. They're his family members. They're his eternal family members. He says, not only you, but all of your army, all of your soldiers, everyone who takes sides with Duryodhana in this battle is going to perish. You haven't got a hope. Even if it was just Arjuna alone on the chariot against all of your armies, you still wouldn't have a hope. Because Krishna has decided your fate. And Krishna says that in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita. And he says, all these armies will perish by my arrangement. So Vyasadeva said, no, the material calculation you made won't work. You're all dead for committing Vaishnava Aparad. And one of those people who also died is Bhishma Dev. Bhishma Dev loved the Pandavas. He wasn't envious of the Pandavas. He was their well-wisher. And yet, he didn't stand up when so many offenses were made against him. Or rather, even if he spoke, he didn't stop it. And he could have stopped it. He could have stopped it by the force of his arms. He was Bhishma Dev. No one amongst the Kurus could have stood up against him, but he didn't. And because he didn't, he also perished in the war. And not only did he perish, but he was lying on that bed of arrows. And when he was lying on that bed of arrows, then his reason for being there for such a long time was that he wanted his body to waste away. He wanted that body with which he committed offenses to the Pandavas to waste away so that it would not be an obstruction to his going back to Godhead. And he also had to suffer. So sadhu sabdan, we begin the 10 offenses. Sadhu nindam paramam aparadam vitanate. This is the paramaparad. And sadhu ninda is again repeated. Even don't commit offenses to the demigods. They're also sadhus. Some of them may be motivated. Still, don't offend them. And then guru rabagya. And don't offend your spiritual master, the chief amongst the sadhus in your life. And offenses go in different ways. Speaking ill about devotees, talking about devotees, possibly one venue for offenses that are often committed is gossip. Gossiping about somebody's misfortune, fall down, difficulty, character, taking sides, all of these things can completely destroy our spiritual lives. Not following vows, not following the order of the spiritual master. Same thing, it's also offense. So many ways, of course, physically harming someone, defaming someone, criticizing others. One needs to be very, very careful. And even when we have something to say, even when we're right, how we're right is sometimes more important than the fact that we are right. Krishna will look at that, because Krishna takes great pride in the humility of his associates. When Janaki Devi was going to Vrindavan and she stopped in Keturi and was hosted by Narottam Das Thakur, and she was very pleased with Narottam Das Thakur's behavior. And before she went on, she said, I'm very, very pleased with you. I'm very pleased with your sadachar, with your behavior, with your knowledge of Vaishnava principles, with your hospitality, how you treat Vaishnavas, and I will speak the glories of your qualities, your humility and your proper behavior to wherever I go. Moreover, because I'm going to go to Vrindavan, I'm going to tell your spiritual master, Lokanath, what a worthy disciple you are. So she was very impressed, not by Narottam Das Thakur's kirtan, of course also by that, and his learning and other things, but what is being emphasized is that she was very impressed by how he interacted and served Vaishnavas. We have this very extraordinary opportunity, this international society, where we have the opportunity to associate with Vaishnavas, and without sadhu sangha, advancement in spiritual life is more or less not possible. But at the same time, if we're not careful about how we associate, then we can cause permanent damage to our own devotional creepers, something that we really want to avoid, no doubt, anyone who's serious about Krishna consciousness, and cause disruption in our progress back home, back to Godhead, that may throw us off by years, lifetimes, who knows. Even another example is Maharaj Chitraketu. Offense to Lord Shiva. He didn't even commit an offense to Lord Shiva. He was actually glorifying Lord Shiva's quality of Dira. But because Parvati Devi took his conduct as an offense, he had to suffer for that. He didn't lose his devotional credentials, but he did take birth as a demon. So, sadhu sabadan, something to be very, very careful about. a play when I, in my previous life, I used to like reading previous life, meaning before I joined Krishna consciousness in this life, I used to like reading plays. And one of my playwrights that I really liked was Tennessee Williams, who was an American, relatively modern. In fact, I think he just died a few years ago. And one of his famous plays was called The Glass Menagerie. I won't get into the details of what it's about. It's not relevant, actually, to what we're talking. But the fact is that when we're... A glass menagerie means... Menagerie is it's like a zoo. A zoo of glass figurines. And when you're in a zoo of glass figurines, then you move very carefully. Just like if you go into a shop where they just sell porcelain and glass, you move really carefully. One wrong move and things break. And even if you just came in to have a look around, you have to pay. So living with Vaishnavas is like a glass menagerie. You have to be very careful how you move in the company of devotees, what you say and do. One wrong move, and even if it's unintentional, even if we make a mistake, of course, then it's not the same severity. But still, something will be there. What to speak of when we actually do things that we should know better, or we intentionally do things. Hare Krishna.